Well, good morning, everybody. We're glad you're with us this morning. Glad you were able to make it on the weekend that we lose an hour of sleep. So it's good to see everybody today. And when we go home, we can take that nap to catch up on that extra hour of sleep that we missed last night, right? But it's good to see everybody this morning. And just a few reminders that this coming Saturday, we'll be having the men's breakfast at Hinkle's at 9 o'clock. So we invite the men of the church. Also, at 10:30 on Saturday, we'll be having our church work day. Now, if it is cold or rainy, we will not have it because there's not a lot of things you can do in the cold and rain, and we'll wait till next month. So just keep your eyes out to the weather forecast, and I will send an email out later on in the week to individuals letting everybody know if the work day is still on or not, as we'll be watching the weather to see if it's going to be cold and rainy or not. Just a reminder that on Thursday nights in the choir room, we do have our life group studying the book of Luke. We have Easter choir practice right after the service. If you would like to be a part of the Easter choir, you can stay right after, and Melody will make sure you get the music for it. And if you say, well, I can't sing, well, that's what, you can sing, because I can't sing either, but I have sung in the choir before. So that's not an excuse of why you cannot join the choir, because Scripture says that we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and to everything unto God is a joyful noise. So if you say, well, Pastor, I can't sing, I can't be a part of it, come and join anyway, because everybody is welcome. Also, just want to remind everybody, next Sunday, right after the service, is our spring potluck luncheon. And Sandy Heisey will be coming around noontime and playing some of your favorites and entertaining us. So we hope you'll join us next Sunday for the luncheon right after the service, as well as Sandy Heisey coming and playing for us. Easter flowers are available for purchase, and they are available at the credenza or the Welcome Center. The order forms in the envelopes. Please place your order form in the envelope and then fold it up and put it in the offering plate, or also put it through the window in the church office, and that way we'll have it. Orders are due, I believe, by March the 26th, so you have a couple of weeks to get your orders in. There's different types of flowers to order from this year, and the prices are listed, so please make sure you get them in time for Easter Sunday, which is coming around the corner. Let us pray together. God, we come now and we give you thanks and praise for who you are. We give you thanks, God, on this day of bringing us here in your house of worship. And we pray for those that are not here today, God, that are just waking up as they forgot to turn their clock back or might not be feeling well, God, that you would just be with them also. And God, just be with us now as we come, and we give you thanks and praise for everything you've done for us. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand and let us worship together?
Thank you.
This morning, as we come into a time of prayer, we want to continue to be thinking about Charlie Winders and Vicki Knight. We'll also be thinking about Sue Hinkle, as tomorrow she'll be going in and having surgery for her hip, I believe, and be thinking about Sue as she'll be recovering from that process. And she's already beginning that process, and that's why she's not here today with us, as they've taken her off of some different pain medicine, and she was not able to be here today. So if you get a chance, send her an email, card, or give her a phone call, I'm sure she would appreciate that. And just be continue to be thinking about just our community and where we're at right now in our season of Lent, and that we would continue to be looking to God and asking God to speak to us during this 40 days leading up to Easter. So let us pray. Lord, we come before you now and we ask that you would take our hearts and mold them and shape them. To take our distractions away from us, God, today, that we might come and focus on you, that you'd be pleased with our worship together. God, we come and we want to be thinking about Vicki Knight. We want to be thinking about Charlie Winders and also Sue, as she'll be having surgery tomorrow, God, that you would continue to be each and every one of them. Be with Sue and the doctors tomorrow as they perform the surgery, that you would guide their hands, that you would be able to be with Sue, that she might be able to be back here worshiping with us soon. We pray, God, for her recovery process also, that you would be with her. We come and we pray for our community, everything going on in our community, God, that you would just continue to work in our community, work in our schools, work in our government here in Columbia, God, and work through the churches, God. We come and we also just lift our nation to you during this time also. So Lord, we come now and we ask that you would open our hearts, our minds, and our ears, that we might hear from you today, and that in everything we say and do, that you might be glorified. Amen. You can remain seated.
Thank you.
Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning as we come and we prepare our hearts for worship together. And I love that song, Christ Being Magnified, because that's why we're here this morning. It's to magnify Him in all we say and do. Last week, if you remember, we started a sermon series called Coming Out of the Ashes, since we started with Ash Wednesday leading into Lent. And we were talking about how that our lives are never too broken to be restored. We were discussing the aspect that God is a God who puts people back together again and restores the brokenness. And we looked at temptation last week and how the various ways that Satan tempts us and how we can overcome those temptations. And this morning we're going to be looking at serving. On our Thursday night time together over in the choir room, we've been looking at the Gospel of Luke and the theme that has been very evident from the first chapter looking at Mary to this past week when we were looking at some parables is the theme of how Jesus has come, and He's come to serve. Serve those that people didn't expect Him to serve. And so this morning we're going to dive in a little bit more into what that means to serve Christ and to model Him in that way. If you have your Bibles or on your phones, if you go to BibleGateway.com where you can follow along behind me this morning, we're going to be looking at first Luke chapter 18 verses 10 through 14 to start things off. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you I'm not like the other people, the robbers, the evildoers, the adulterers, or even like this tax collector. For I fast twice a week and give them a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Let us pray. God, we come now and we ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, will be acceptable in your sight. Amen. There is a time where a rider came across a few soldiers that were trying to move a very heavy piece of wood without any success. It was a huge wood beam. The corporal that was giving the instructions to these soldiers were standing by and just barking the orders out to them. He wasn't helping them at all. And all of a sudden, as this rider on a horse came by, he couldn't believe that the corporal wasn't helping. The corporal was just standing there watching the men struggle. And he asked the corporal, why aren't you helping? And the corporal replied, well, I am the corporal. I give the orders. I don't do the work. That's not my job. The rider then got off his horse, and he began to help the soldiers that were struggling. And he lifted the wood with them, and he said, how can I help you with this task? And they figured out what needed to be done to get the task done. And we wonder, well, who was this rider? Well, this rider was our very first commander-in-chief, George Washington, that got off his horse and got down and helped individuals with that piece of wood while the corporal was just standing there barking out orders. This is a story of what it means to be humble and to help serve others. I mean, we love George Washington, don't we? All the stories about him, and we think about this corporal and we say, how can the corporal just stand there and not lend a hand? How can he stand there and just bark out orders? It's a story when you look at it that says, well, wait a second, it's very obvious that he should have been helping the soldiers instead of barking orders at them. But there are times in our lives when we're like that corporal, and we'll sit back and we'll bark orders and we'll say, well, I'm more worthy than you are, or that's not my job, it's your job and you're supposed to do it. That little story of George Washington mirrors a story that I shared with you here in Luke chapter 18. How many times we can think of ourselves above others and we're unwilling to help them because we feel that our stature is above them or higher than them. We say, well, I want to be humble. I want to serve others. I want to be helpful. But instead of accepting people the way they are, instead of coming alongside of them, we cast judgment on them, and we put exceptions on why we can't help them. We begin to say, well, I'm better because look at all the things that I already do for you, God, and look what these individuals do. I'm not worthy to even rub shoulders with them because I'm more righteous than they are. When you look at this passage this morning, Luke 18, you see the Pharisees saying that, oh, I'm not like them. Lord, don't make me like them. Don't put me beside them. Don't even let me worship with them because I'm better than they are. Look at all the things I've done for you. Or at least a tax collector came, and the tax collector was very honest. He said, look, I know I'm a tax collector. I know people despise me because they'll collect taxes, and God, I'm a sinner, and will you please have grace and mercy on me? What's interesting here is the Pharisee and the tax collector were both sinners. Well, the Pharisee thought he was above the tax collector because he went to church, he led worship, he did everything that he was supposed to do in the culture of being a Christian. He said all the right things, did all the right things. Well, the tax collector didn't do that. But instead of looking at the tax collector and saying, hey, why don't you come up here and pray with me? Why don't you come and join me? Because you know what? Just because I'm a Pharisee doesn't make me any better. And you know, the Pharisee looked down on him and said, well, at least I'm not like him. At least I'm better off. You see, when we look at serving others, we need to humble ourselves and not think that we're better than anybody else. We need to realize that no matter who we are, that we all are sinners in need of God's grace, that none of us are any better than anybody else. But so many times we pick and choose who we're going to serve based upon that wonderful sin scale we have, don't we? We begin to say, well, I'm not as bad as that person because I don't commit the sins like they do. When we have this wonderful sin scale that we put on there and we say, well, that's a good sin. That's an okay sin in God's eyes. This is maybe a mediocre sin. Well, this sin definitely is not acceptable in God's eyes. And we begin to kind of levy our sin scale out. Or what we'll do is, instead of saying, you know what, maybe I need to get some stuff in my own life right, we'll say, I'm going to judge the sin in your life first before I look at the sin in my life. Because I'm better than you. And so it's easier for me to ignore the sin in my life and judge you for your sin than to address my own sin. We want to be humble, we want to help others, but we forget that in order to serve, we need to humble ourselves, we need to come alongside of each other, and we need to realize that we are no greater than anybody else. And that is what we're going to look at today in the life of Christ, that Christ didn't serve others when it suited him. Christ didn't serve others when they fit into his little group of 12. Christ didn't serve others when it was a case of, hey, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. No, he served no matter what. He humbled himself. If you remember a few weeks ago, we looked at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same of that as Christ Jesus. Paul is saying that our attitude needs to be like Jesus. Our actions need to mirror him. That as we look at Philippians 2, 5 through 8 now, it says, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality of God something to be used to his advantage, rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. What is the ultimate form of service? Jesus going to the cross and being obedient, dying on the cross for you and for me. That is the ultimate act of what a servant is. Good morning. Let's jump back to Luke chapter 14. And we're going to look now at verses 1 through 14 of Luke 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling. And Jesus asked the Pharisees and the expert in the law, is it sinful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and he sent him on his way. Then he asked him, if one of you has a child or an ox that falls into the well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? And they said nothing. When you notice how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But then you are invited to take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, why don't you move up to this better place? Then you'll be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or sisters or your relatives or your rich neighbors. For if you do, they'll invite you back and you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you'll be repaid with the resurrection and righteousness. So what are some things we could take here from Philippians 2 and Luke 14? Well, first is, we shouldn't take advantage of our position. We should never take advantage of our position of leadership, whether it's in the church, and our jobs, and our neighborhoods, or whatever it might be. We should never, ever take advantage of our position, whatever it might be. Meaning, we should not lord ourselves over other people. We should not boss them around. We should not tell them how to do things or not do things. We should not be like that corporal that's just sitting there barking out orders. We have to make sure that in our position, whatever it might be, that we use it to help others and to serve others instead of holding ourselves over their heads and telling them how much better we are than them. We cannot use that position for personal gain. How does it benefit me? What can I get out of this? If I help you, what are you going to do for me? We cannot do that. We cannot use our position for ourselves or for anybody else except to serve them and come alongside of them and helping them where they're at. That is the problem we have today in our country, isn't it? That so many times we'll say, I'll help you, but in order to help you, you need to help me first. That so many times we hold our positions over individuals and we say, do you know who I am? If you knew who I was, then maybe you would respond differently to me. And we look at this chapter in Luke 14, and Jesus says, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what your status is, that you should still serve, because no matter who you are and what your position is, you still are a sinner in need of God's grace. We need to serve others. When you look at Jesus, he says, I came to serve, not to be served. He came to put aside his royal position, and throughout his earthly ministry, he gave himself up to the need of other individuals. We serve others not because of how it benefits us. We serve others because that's what we're called to do as Christians. Which leads to the question of, what is our motives? Why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do as individuals? Why do we do what we do as a church, as a community? Why do we do what we do? What's our motive? Why do we do it? Is it like to be the Pharisee in Luke 18 who says, God, look at me, I'm more righteous than anybody else? Is it like the individual in Luke 14 who has the wedding banquet and invites all the royal guests just for the fact that they can be lifted up and thanked for all the things they're doing in the community and how they're giving and supporting different things? Or are we serving others that just have things in common with us? I'll serve this group of people because they're like me, but I won't serve this group of people because they're different. Are we serving based upon the fact that we're doing it out of the right motivation? What is our motivation for serving? Is it for building up God's kingdom? And then we need to give our life away the way Jesus did. Jesus gave his life at the cross for us. And Jesus says if we're to follow him, we're to take up our cross and every single day come after him. That we need to carry the cross just like he did. That we need to give our life away each and every day. But in order to do that, we need to get rid of some things. There's some things that we're holding on to in life that we need to get rid of. This morning, is there something that you're holding on to tightly that you want to give up to God? There's something that you said, I just can't let go of this. No matter how hard I try, I just can't let go of it. Is it your dreams, your aspirations? Is it something that you just can't let go of because you're afraid of what might happen if you do? In order to be a servant, we need to give our life away. We need to let go of things, and we need to give everything back to God. Humility is an attitude. It's an attitude that needs to be embraced. So many times we'll say that there's different reasons for the problems in our world and the problems in our churches. The reality is it comes down to the aspect of humility, that we don't have enough of that attitude of humility in our country and our churches today. That if we did, the world in which we live in would be a lot different if we actually modeled that humility and attitude of humility. Humility is an important part of our relationship with God and with each other. Those that are searching for hope, those that are looking for God and answers, they find it when we truly humble ourselves, when we walk alongside of them. So many different times we look at how Jesus humbled himself. In 1 Peter 5, 5 through 6, Peter tells us that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. That when you are humble, God will lift you up. Psalm 138, though the Lord is high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. The NIV says this in this way, with the New Living Translation saying, though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. Have you ever wondered why God might feel so distant from you today? Well, God, where are you? I haven't heard you speak to me. God, you're feeling very distant from me today. I don't feel your presence today. Well, is it because of the fact that we're not being humble and we're being prideful? That it says here that God keeps his distance from the proud. Is God keeping his distance from you and from me because of our pride in our lives? That we wonder, God, where are you? And it's because of the fact that we're not living humble lives. That we're like the Pharisee. Do we lift ourselves up to God, trying to make ourselves look better to God? Well, God, here I am. I'm coming to worship you, God. And well, look at all the money I've given to the church, God. Look at all the things I do for the community, God. Look at how I serve in the church, God. Look at me, God. Look at this wonderful thing, God, that I'm doing all for you. And we say, God, where are you? I'm doing all these things for you, God. Aren't you pleased? And God says, I'm distant from you because your motivation's wrong. Your heart's not in the right place. You're proud. And I will not draw to you as long as you are proud. Pride and arrogance are incompatible with humility, which means that these attitudes are very far from that of Jesus. That pride will destroy us. John 13:1-17, I think, is the ultimate example of what it means to serve. It says, it was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And this evening meal was in progress, and the devil had promptly told Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his authority and power, and that all things had come from God, and he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around them. And it came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter. You will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, and you have no part with me. The Lord said, not just my feet, Simon said, but my hands and my head. And Jesus said, those who've had a bath only need to wash their feet. Their whole body are clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you is. For you who knew he was coming to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. When he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you not understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. For this is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed to do them. We find here that John is recording to the full extent the love that Jesus had for his disciples by washing their dirty, smelly, stinky feet. Now let me ask you this morning, if I would ask for a volunteer every week to greet people as they come in and wash their feet, how many of you volunteer to do that? I don't know if I would even volunteer to do that. I'd be like the cripple saying, all right, you guys need to go wash that person's feet, and I'll be up here keeping my socks and shoes on, but you guys, you go handle those dirty, those smelly feet, okay? It's something that none of us want to do. Why? Because feet are smelly, they're stinky, they're dirty. Nobody wants to touch them. You know, think about Jesus who had set sandals on his disciples, and they're walking everywhere, and they're dusty and nasty and dirty and smelly and sweaty. And here Jesus is taking his hands and going over their feet together. That Jesus was down on his knees, filling up a basin of water, washing the feet. Now, how about this? What if somebody did volunteer to do that, and you come in and they say, can you please take your shoes and socks off? I want to wash your feet. What would your reaction be? You'd probably be like, look, you're a little weird. I'm keeping my socks and my shoes on, okay? No, thank you. I already showered today. I don't need you to touch my feet. And the person says, no, let me wash your feet, please, as a symbol of being a servant. We probably would argue with that person and say, leave me alone. Just stay away from me. Or we might come into church and we might say, hey, did you see that person back there trying to wash? Did they try to wash your feet, too? They try to wash my feet. And we begin to complain that somebody really wanted to actively serve us by washing our feet. See, that's the problem sometimes with being in service and serving others, is so many times we'll find a reason why we can't do it, or why there's a problem with it, or why it's weird to do. But yet, when we put ourselves in that position to serve others, that's what God has called us to do. The way he got down his knees and got that basin of water and washed the disciples' feet. Imagine what that water must have looked like by the time he was done. I can't imagine. It was an incredibly low act of service, the most uncleanest part of the body that a servant was supposed to do before you entered the house. But here's Jesus saying, serve as I have served you. Because serving shows how much we love God and love others. Jesus was showing his disciples how much he loved them. John 13 was recorded for you and I today, just like it was for his disciples. So we can see the character of Jesus. We can see what Jesus was made out of, that he didn't just say serve, he got down and he did serve. That 13, John 13, 14 through 17 says, now I, the Lord, your teacher, have washed your feet. You should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than one who sent him. Now know these things, and be blessed if you do them. So the question today is, who is it that you and I need to serve this week? Whose feet do we need to wash this week? Now, I'm not saying literally get a basin of water and a towel and wash somebody's feet, but whose feet is it that we need to wash this week? Who do we need to serve this week? Who is it that we say, oh, Lord, please, anybody but that one? I'll serve anybody, I'll do anything you want, but please, God, just don't make me serve that person over there. Who is it that we need to serve? Whose feet do we need to wash this week? Where do we need to confess our pride at? Where do we need to confess the fact that we're arrogant at times? That sometimes we build ourselves up and puff ourselves up to make ourselves look better before God when God still knows our heart? And how will we begin to model the life of Christ starting today? How will we begin to serve the way that Christ did? You see, as we continue into Lent, that is part of coming to Easter, is laying ourselves before God and giving ourselves to him that we might serve him, and not just serve him, but serve others as well. that we might be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Today, let us ask God to make us a servant. A servant in our community, a servant in our church, a servant in our jobs, a servant in our neighborhood, a servant in our family. Asking God, show me where I need to serve today so others can get a glimpse of who Christ is. Today, let our prayer be, Lord, make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, lift me up those who are weak. And may the prayer in my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Let that be our prayer each and every day, that we will be a servant.
Thank you.
Don't forget about choir practice right after the service today. And as we go and we leave this place, let us go and serve the Lord with gladness each and every single day. May the grace and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen and amen. May you go in peace.